Good afternoon. My name is Thea, and I will be the conference operator today. At this time, I would like to welcome everyone to the LGL Quarter Two 2018 Earnings Conference Call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the speaker's remarks, there will be a question-and-answer session. If you would like to ask a question during this time, simply press star and the number one on your telephone keypad. If you would like to withdraw the question, press the pound key. Thank you. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Michael Ferrantino, Senior CEO. Please go ahead, sir.
Well, thank you, and good afternoon, everybody. Thank you for giving us some of your time today, and welcome to our earnings call. With me today is James Tidy, who is LGL CFO, and Linda Biles, who serves as controller of both LGL subsidiaries, MTRON PTI and PTF, otherwise known as Precise Time and Frequency. We're going to start with James, who will first read off Safe Harbor statement, and then we'll proceed with a review of our financial performance for the second quarter and for year to date. James?
Yep. Good afternoon. Welcome again to our earnings conference call for the fiscal second quarter ended June 30th, 2018. Please note that this call will be recorded, and we anticipate making the recording available on our website at www.lglgroup.com after the call. We have issued a press release today after the market closed, reporting our results for our second fiscal quarter of 2018. Before getting underway, we are required to advise you, and all participants should note, that the following discussion should be taken in conjunction with the most recent financial statements and notes thereto, as well as the Form 10-Q to be filed with the SEC later today. This discussion may contain forward-looking statements within the meaning of Section 27A of the Securities Act of 1933 and Section 21E of the Securities and Exchange Act of 1934. These forward-looking statements involve known and unknown risks and uncertainties, which are detailed in our filings with the SEC. Although the company believes that its forward-looking statements are based upon reasonable assumptions regarding its business and future market conditions, there can be no assurances that the company's actual results will not differ materially from any results expressed or implied by the company's forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future events, or otherwise. Readers are cautioned that any forward-looking statements are not guarantees of future performance. Let me summarize for you where LGL stands as of the second quarter of 2018 and for the year-to-date period. Total revenues for Q2 were $6.2 million, an increase of just over 5% from revenues of $5.9 million the prior year quarter. Consolidated gross margin as a percentage of revenues increased to 41.6% for Q2 from 31.9% for the second quarter of 2017. For the six months, total revenues were $12.1 million, an increase of 5.4% from $11.5 million for the prior year six months. Consolidated gross margin for the six months increased to 39.6% from 34.3% in the prior year. The increase in gross margins for both the quarter and six months reflects our strategy to move away from the low-margin commodities business, including purchased products, and focus on achieving revenue growth through the development of more complex, higher-margin products, particularly in the aerospace and defense product markets. As of Q2 2018, our order backlog was $14.5 million, which is an increase of 33.1% compared to the backlog of $10.9 million as of Q2 2017. This increase was due primarily to orders being received sooner than planned and indicate a strong base for our revenues over the next few quarters. Operating income of $489,000 for the three months ended June 30th was an improvement of $445,000 from operating income of $44,000 for the three months ended June 30, 2017. Operating income of $647,000 for the six months ended June 30, 2018, was an improvement of $495,000 from operating income of $152,000 for the six months ended June 30, 2017. The improvement in operating income for both the three and six-month periods was due to the increases in revenues and improvements in gross margin. Net income for Q2 was $472,000 compared to $20,000 for Q2 of 2017. Basic and diluted net income per share for Q2 2018 was 10 cents, compared to 1 cent in Q2 of 2017. Net income for the 6 months was $665,000, compared to $131,000 for 2017. Basic and diluted net income per share was 14 cents for the 6 months ended June 30th, 2018, and 5 cents for the comparable 2017 period. As of June 30th, 2018, our consolidated working capital was $22.8 million, with $17.2 million in cash and marketable securities. With that, I'll now turn the call back over to Michael.
Thank you, James. Since this is our first meeting in quite some time, we thought it best to go directly to your questions. We want to really hear from you. And in the future, launching off of the kinds of questions you asked today, we'll try to tailor a presentation to address those very things that you have in mind. So without further ado, we're ready to answer as many questions as we can in the amount of time we have left.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone that if you would like to ask a question, to press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Again, that's star 1 for any questions over the phone line. We'll pause for just a moment to compile the Q&A roster. And again, ladies and gentlemen, that's star 1 for any questions over the phone line. We do have a question from David Menkoff with BCM Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, guys. Congratulations on a pretty good quarter. I guess, Michael, how comfortable are you that the business is turned up going forward for a sustainable period rather than just a 1 or 2 quarter bump up? Because you know, while your revenues were $6.2 million, they were, I think, $6 million in the quarter right before, so that's up, I guess, about 5%, it's true, but and it's gone against, I think, $5.9 million a year ago. So it's not knocking your socks off type of thing. However, the backlog is up 33%. So are you expecting greater increases in the second half than we saw in this first half?
Yes, David. One of the challenges we have is bringing in skilled people. The kind of people we need to put these products together require pretty good dexterity and good eyesight. So we've done some unique and novel approaches to tap into new markets, part-time people that can come in from 9 to 2 and can other group of people that can come in from, say, 3 to 10. But you're right. Our backlog since I've been here, this is the highest that the backlog has been. It's all scheduled out over the next 12 months, with the heaviest portion scheduled for the next 2 quarters. So, you know, I have a pretty high comfort zone that our shipping levels will increase, and that the last half of the year will be, I think it'll be very good.
Right, even greater than the 5% increase you had year over year in this quarter, is that it?
I think it dependent on the number of people that we can bring in and get trained, yeah.
Okay, and you had discussions with that investment group that actually I think began back in October, almost a year ago, and I thought it was done and buried at that time, but apparently a week ago you announced that you were still considering that deal, and then the next day you decided to cease those discussions. By the way, I found it unusual that they were bidding for just Mtron and the other company, which probably comprises about 90% of LGL. Why weren't they interested in the entire company and not just those two divisions?
I really can tell you what I think. I can't tell you exactly, but they preferred that they did not tie themselves up with a public company, and they were looking to be private. And so they came after us. You're right. It was even earlier than October when we started talking to them. Then we put out a press release in October because it had moved at least to a non-binding letter of intent. It was a long one. I mean, I think it's safe to say it was even unusual. I've been party to several, and this was the longest that it ever took. We thought that over the course of the time that we were talking to them, that we would stay quiet because we never had enough to come to the public and talk about to our shareholders. However, one of the things that they were looking for was they were looking for an indication of whether or not if we could come to an agreement that the shareholders would be in favor of it and not in favor of it. And that all happened very rapidly, David. And mm-hmm. I think you saw some filings by one of our larger shareholders
right.
who indicated that, you know, and looking at where we are today, I certainly agree 100% that it didn't make economic sense. So we thought in the best interest of our shareholders, our employees and our customers, that we're going to just run this business and continue to try to grow it.
Right. Well, that was probably a good idea. But the discussions did go on for a long time. So apparently there was interest on both sides, both the interested party to buy and you guys. How far apart were you? Couldn't have been that far apart, or you would have ended the discussions a long time ago, I guess. So you said the company was valued at $670 had it completed with what they wanted to pay. What were you looking for? How far apart was it, and why do you think they couldn't go up to the number before you canceled it?
Let me first address maybe the timing, because it wasn't continuous. There were
right.
significant breaks. We had a management presentation in early December, and then we didn't have anything to talk about from them until February. So it was not a continuous process like you'd expect it to be.
Okay.
And so I don't think we ever felt that we were getting enough value for our shareholders. And when things started to improve, and they started to improve in the fourth quarter, significantly improved, because I think if you go back in time, we've had 9 quarters of EBITDA improvement. That's you know, over 2 years now. And
right.
so when we saw that the business was getting stronger and stronger, and that, David, is a result of the kinds of businesses that we're in. In other words, from the time we get an RFQ till we supply samples, till we get into production runs, it can be 2 to 3 years. And now we're seeing major platforms major weapon systems platforms primarily, that we're seeing production size orders. So mm-hmm. that all started to come together in the fourth quarter. Because in the fourth quarter, I think we booked over $7 million as well, and we've done that now for 3 quarters in a row. So I think that upon self-examination, we said, man, maybe this business is getting fixed quicker and faster than we originally thought it would. We thought it would take a little bit longer.
Right.
But, you know, when you get some wind behind you,
yes.
My experience, I mean, there's a little bit of luck, too. Thank
right.
God for that. We got
right.
some in back of us. I'll take the luck. But I don't see a big turn in anytime soon. Now, I will tell you that typically my experience has been that the third quarter of the new orders for us is slow. And most of that's related to government fiscal year. Most of the contracts are all put out in the calendar fourth quarter, first quarter, and second quarter. And usually by the time we get to this period in time, our third quarter, it does soften up a little bit, but it comes roaring back. So I think we could have a perturbation. I don't think it's going to be big. I just see it's not monotonic line straight up, but it's continuing to get better.
Very good. Well, it looks like things are starting to come together for you. Is Is any of this, or is any of your sales volume, will any of it be subject to possible tariffs that we have going on with different countries throughout the world?
We looked at a worst case scenario in our major businesses here in Orlando, MTRON PTI, and it could have an impact of up to $100,000 in the worst possible case. Mm-hmm. But because we have an operation in Hong Kong, we think we could mitigate a significant portion of that by much of the building is done in the same countries that the tariffs are. So instead of bringing it here, we just take it through Hong Kong and bring it back into China, Vietnam, Singapore, wherever. So I don't think it's going to have, I don't think it has great consequences.
Very good. I wish you luck in the future with this stuff, and I'll get back into the queue. There may be some other questions. Thanks for answering mine, Michael.
You're very welcome, David.
Right.
Once again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Again, that's star 1 for any questions. We'll pause for just a moment. We do have a question from Bobby Nordini with BBN Management. Please go ahead.
Hey guys, what costs were associated with exploring the asset sale over the last 10 or 11 months? Do you guys have a number that you can put on that?
We're under binding agreements that I really can't reveal that. The confidentiality agreement's gone for some time, so I prefer not to. I think we did enough in the press release to.
Okay. Just want to make sure we're on the same page. I'm just talking about the costs of, you know, maybe bankers or accountants or whatnot. You know, what were those costs over the last 10 months?
Bob, right?
Bobby, yeah.
Yeah, okay. I can tell you that we did not have a banker representing us. We did it ourselves. The legal fees from the beginning to now, we don't think – they'll have some cost, but we don't think they're $50,000. So I would say in the scheme of things, not a big deal.
Got it. Okay. Thanks, guys.
Welcome.
We do have a question from Mark Vanderwell. He's an individual investor.
I wonder if you could explain why your profitability is quite a bit higher in the second quarter than in the first, even though the revenue was only up slightly.
We'll do our best to try to answer you, Mark. The mix of our business was highly favorable, especially in the month of June. We made an acquisition in 2014 of a product line from a company called Trilithic, and it was a great acquisition. We integrated it here in Orlando, and most of the production we moved to India, so we had some substantial cost savings as a result of having the facility in India. And we anticipated that over time that the sales revenue from this particular customer and those particular products would erode, but that we had a surge. And so a significant portion of our shipment in the month of June, not huge as it relates to the whole quarter, but significant, was at a very high gross margin, so the mix was very favorable. However, having said that our margin is typically, I think when we have a poor quarter, it's 35%, and when we have a good one, it's 39%. So our margins have been, since perhaps the last 3 years, the kind you'd expect from a high-tech company.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And there are no further questions at this time.
Well, I guess I want to thank the people that asked us questions. We appreciate it. That we got a little insight into what interests you most. We're probably not going to comment on the last 12 months that we spent working on the acquisition, but we will comment on the fact that the company LGL is aggressively looking to make acquisitions in addition to the organic growth that we know we can do out of our two subsidiaries, and we'll be hopefully talking more about that in the future. We are judicious about the money that we were given by our shareholders, and so we're probably being extremely careful in deciding how to employ it to which avenue and which kinds of acquisitions we're looking at. So more on that at the next call scheduled for sometime in November. We're going to do it again. I'd like to, then I guess we can conclude the meeting, James.
Yep. Thank you very much, operator. And thanks, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in today's conference call. You may now disconnect.